You have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Kathy, thank you for sharing your heart's desire. The times that I've been to your office and you and I just chatting outside of a phone call or two, I know your passion. I know the vision that you have. And as you mentioned, it's God's timing. Sometimes my timing and God's timing just doesn't match. Sometimes we try to walk in front of the Lord versus walking behind him, and trying to discern that is very, very difficult. But tonight I want to bring a devotion to encourage our dear sister, but also to encourage all of us. And Brother Tuttle kind of gave us the call to instruction, because tonight's lesson is entitled Boldness versus Fearfulness. Boldness versus Fearfulness. Allow me to read the first 9 verses. Joshua 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong, and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, just simply briefly before the devotion, verses 6, 7, and 9. 3 times in just the first 9 verses, God here is encouraging, charging, admonishing, and simply commanding Joshua to be bold, to be courageous, and don't fear. And the underlining pinning to Joshua's courage and his not to be afraid, the thing that should have jumped off the page was God's continual reminder of his ever-present presence with Joshua. As I was with Moses and the 120 years of his life, where he eventually knew and grew to understand who I am the great I am, 40 years in Pharaoh's court, 40 years tending his father-in-law's sheep, and then 40 years leading my people. As I was with Moses, Joshua, you're about to cross over and take ownership of the land. I want you to be courageous. I want you to be bold. And I don't want you to fear. And I don't want you to get discouraged. And I don't want you to get dismayed. Well, as we heard tonight, our dear sister, Kathy, sees a few obstacles that are in the way. Some of those obstacles can be people. Some of those obstacles could be lack of funding. Some of those obstacles could be lack of volunteers. And now it seems the greatest obstacle is a lack of clients coming in the front door. Well, tonight I want to encourage her and also to encourage my church family. For those of you who may not know, in the Greek New Testament, there are 3 Greek words that are translated boldness in the New Testament. And they're all different. Not only are they different, but they are different
because of how they apply themselves. For instance, one of these Greek words is only used in the face of death. We are to be bold. We are to be courageous. We are not to fear death itself. The second word that is translated from the Greek into the English, boldness, is boldness, as Brother Tettle gave us the call to instruction, boldness to speak. So one word is reserved by God the Holy Spirit to be bold in the face of probable death. And the other word is boldness in the face of telling people the truth. And then finally, there's another word in the Greek translated boldness, or to be courageous. And it happens to be to accomplish great things for God. Now stop and think. For all of us in this room, they apply to all of us here. All three of them apply. Whether you're going to face death in natural death, or whether you're going to face death by being a martyr, you need to have boldness. You need to have that grace to die well, to die nobly for the kingdom and for His glory. And then you have that boldness to simply speak the truth. All of us have to speak sometime. All of us have to speak up and defend the truth. And then that third word, when it comes to whatever your calling is, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're a director of a Christian ministry that touches the public like our dear sister, or whether you're a parent, or whether you're a school teacher, whether you bust suds in some sink with dirty dishes, beloved, we all need boldness to accomplish whatever God would have us to do great exploits. Boldness is the fearless and daring courage to carry out the work God calls us to do. When God commanded Joshua to be of good courage, he was being told to face death in battle. Would you agree? Could Joshua have been killed in battle? Yes. To be bold to speak the truth to his own heart and to his people. How many times did Joshua have to minister to his own nation when they fell into sin, when they met a defeat and everybody was ho-hum, let's just simply go back to Egypt. He needed that boldness to talk to his people. And did not Joshua need boldness to do great exploits, carrying the people over the Jordan, attacking the mighty walled city of Jericho, and then to fan out and to conquer the land that was promised to Father Abraham? Well, consider this, boldness in the face of death. No believer needs to fear death because of the confidence of the boldness that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One reason why you and I ought to be bold and courageous, even to face the grim reaper, is Paul's admonishment. Paul says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise took part of the same, that through death the Lord Jesus Christ might destroy him, the devil, that had power over the death, that is, the devil, and deliver them through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Hebrews 2:14-15. Jesus Christ came, and he was bold in the face of death. The shameful, humiliating, gruesome, excruciating misery and pain of the cross. He was bold to face that Roman tree, because he knew that when he conquered death on the cross, and when he came out of his tomb 3 days and three nights later, he won the victory over the grim reaper's master, the devil himself. The Apostle Paul had this same boldness. He fearlessly faced beatings. He fearlessly faced persecution. He fearlessly faced shipwrecks. And his secret was that calm assurance that he was indestructible until Paul's work was done. He knew that death would bring him immediately into the eternal presence of the Lord whom he served. Beloved, Paul faced death every day of his life, every year, every month of his ministry, being shipwrecked, being stoned, and left to die at the end of the city limits. He was bobbing in the Mediterranean Sea. He received so many stripes at the hands of the Jews. And then he had false brethren nipping at his ankles, trying to undermine his ministry once he left a given city and a given church. Beloved, Paul knew that as long as he was indestructible, as long as he was in the will of God, nothing could touch him. Moses would not die until he finished those 120 years of his life. Statesman prophet Daniel, irregardless whether being thrown in a fiery furnace, being fed to a lion in the evening, beloved, God was not through with that political, governmental prophet statesman. As long as Daniel was in the palm of God's hand and God's will, nothing could come into Daniel's life and extinguish his life until his job on earth was done. Jeremiah, irregardless of being put into a pit, irregardless of being fed bread with water, bread with worms or rancid water, his work was not going to be terminated until he fulfilled his course. And every apostle, whether it was going to the martyr or whether St. John the Beloved who died a natural death, beloved, when it comes to you and I, you are indestructible when you are in the center of God's will until your job, your calling, your gifts, your talents, your abilities are spent on an altar of service for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And therefore, we can face boldness. We can face death. We can face that pain boldly. Because when God is through with you, then he'll take you home. But now until then, Sister Kathy, CPO is your castle. That is your fortress. And we as a congregation are going to pray to build that hedge around you, your heart, your mind, and your ministry. CPO, beloved, is right in the trench. It's on the front line. It's not 30 miles behind supporting the troops. CPO is right in the trench on the front line. And she needs our prayers. And she needs our support. And she needs to be bold. And we all need to be bold. Here's some personal evaluation. Have you and I promised to die to self and follow Jesus? Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Have you and I conquered the fear of man by exchanging our reputation for Christ's and choosing to be concerned only that people see Jesus Christ in you and I? Have you and I dedicated our lives to fulfill God's calling? And are you and I determined to make whatever sacrifice God requires? What biblical convictions do you have that you and I are willing to die for? And in what specific ways are you and I dying to self that we may serve others for Christ? Well, that's the first Greek word, boldness in the face of death. Well, there's a second word, boldness to speak truth. Where boldness to conquer the fear of death comes through salvation, boldness to speak the truth comes through the prayer of other believers. Even though the Apostle Paul requested prayer for such boldness, he said this, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ephesians 6:19-20. When the apostles were threatened with harm, if they spoke in the name of Jesus, they received boldness through prayer. Acts chapter 4 tells us this. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. The two apostles come back after being threatened, after being told to shut their mouth, after being told no longer have that man's blood upon our own legal conscience. You simply shut up, church. Go home, stay in your four walls, and you just simply keep your lips sealed. So they went back to the church and they had a prayer meeting. And here's the gist of their prayer. Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto us thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Too many in the church today are timid. Too many in the church are making apologies for Christ. They make apologies for the gospel. They make apologies for the two-edged sword. They make apologies for a blood-stained cross. They make apologies. Beloved, it's time that the church of Jesus Christ stop making apologies for the truth and speak that truth with boldness. Men and women today will speak boldly for a football team, for a baseball team, for some Hollywood mogul, or some political leader, or some great guru. The church today needs to stand up and speak boldly for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Boldness to speak the truth must begin with a clear conscience towards God and towards others. Nothing stops the freedom of the mouth like an unresolved failure of a certain life. Before Isaiah was commissioned to speak, he was cleansed of his. We read, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed. I'm sick and tired of hearing about pastors in this town who squeak like mice, and they do not roar like a lion when it comes to the truth. I am sick and tired of professing Christians in this city who squeak like mice when it comes for their Christ and for the truth of the gospel and for the claims of Scripture. But they'll roar like a mighty lion for the Kansas City Chiefs, or their favorite this and their favorite that. But when it comes to Jesus, they squeak like a mouse. What about you? What Christian leaders are you praying for to have boldness to speak the truth? Have you and I asked others to pray that you and I will have boldness to speak? Do you wait for opportunities to witness, or do you simply make them? When people ridicule the Lord, do you defend the truth in a loving way? What good treasures are you putting in your heart that will then be spoken by your tongue and my tongue? Have you ever written out your testimony so that you will always be prepared to give a ready answer? Again, how many of you here this morning can sit down with a poor, hell-bound, lost-bound sinner and simply just tell them what Christ has done for you? You're going to sit there and tell me, Bob, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, it's time for you to take your excuses and shove them in a black hole. There is something that you can tell the world, and there is something that no man, no woman, no atheist, no skeptic, no agnostic can ever take away from you. Is your own personal testimony of how Jesus Christ, in his grace and his love, reached into the gutter and pulled you out of that gutter. Once you were blind, but now you can see. And if you and I can flap our mouth on every other secular subject under the sun, you should be able with boldness and fearlessness to share your testimony to a lost and dying world. Why in the world do we have to regurgitate another man's theology when God has saved your hell-bound, deserving soul, when you can tell other people what Christ has done for you? That in itself is the greatest lesson, the greatest Bible story that any sinner can hear. How do you know that God exists? I know that he exists because he resides in my bosom. Well, how do you know he resides in your bosom? Because he saved my wretched soul. How about telling someone about your testimony? Versus you piggybacking off of another man's ministry, how about you tell the world what Christ has done for you? Versus you telling what the Lord has done for them, how about you and I with boldness and fearlessness tell other people what Christ has done for you? When's the last time you did that?
When's the last time you had the boldness and the gumption to look somebody in the eyes and tell them what Christ has done for you and what Christ means to you and how real he is to you and how important he is to you? That's the second one. The third one, boldness to accomplish great things. When a believer conquers the fear of death, now watch how this strings itself. When a believer conquers the fear of death and then boldly speaks the truth, then he or she is now equipped for the boldness to do great things. So before you can do great things for God, you have to go to the spiritual gymnasium. And you got to pump up those flabby spiritual muscles that you've allowed to get flabby and fatty. You get in that gymnasium and you come to terms, Lord, by your grace, if I must die for you, whether on some foreign field or whether it be here in Topeka, defending the truth when things get rough, give me the grace and the boldness and the courage to die for you. And then you go to the other gymnasium room and you pump those muscles up. And once you've gotten a handle on being bold to speak the truth, and you have those two things licked and in your corner, then you go into the third and final room of God's gymnasium. And that is, I put these first two things together, and now I am a rounded, completed individual, and now I can do anything because I am indestructible when I'm in the center of God's will. God is able to accomplish mighty things through such a believer. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. That was given to one of Judah's kings. Not Hezekiah, but a king that came before Hezekiah. And this individual was not perfect before his God. He started off pretty good. And then he began to get a little flabby. His spiritual waistline got too big. And he began to become a spiritual couch potato. And then he began to let things go. And God said, because you have not kept that heart perfect, and you have not honored me and feared me the way you should, the rest of your reign, you're going to be in charge of your army night and day, because I'm going to send every adversary against your borders. Doing great exploits for God in his kingdom is the result of knowing God and understanding God's character and God's purpose in the world. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Daniel 11:32. And if you can remember last month's Nativity series that is speaking about the Maccabees, who rose up with one father and five sons and finally got the Syrians off their back, and in the course of time gave the nation a breathing room of 100 to 135 years of self-independence before the Romans came knocking on the door. God initiates the boldness to do exploits by giving his people special passages of scripture that directly relate to what he wants them to accomplish. These passages are called in the scripture, in the Greek word, rhema. Rhema. And are the basis of faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Gideon demonstrated boldness when he pulled down his father's altars dedicated to a false god and then led 300 soldiers against the enemy's huge army. David also demonstrated boldness as he went out against Goliath. The heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 demonstrated this type of boldness that is used by this one Greek word. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to speak of Gideon, Baruch, Samson, Jephthah, David, and also Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Is your heart right before God, so that He can work mightily through you? Is it your goal in life to lead as many people as you can to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and then to disciple them in all the teachings of Christ? What special passages of Scripture, what special rhema has God given to you, and do you regularly meditate on them? Has God given you special concern for a certain category of people so that you can meet their needs? And when you get to the end of your life, when you're on your dead in a hospice room, or you're laid out bloody on some road because some idiot plowed into your vehicle and your blood and your life is getting on the street, what do you want to look back on? Of which can you say, this is what God accomplished through me? So isn't that amazing? As I close, three separate words. They're all different. I'm not going to pronounce them because I know that I'll butcher them like my last name. But three words in the Greek. And they're all translated. Boldness or confidence or assurance. In the face of death, to speak the truth, and to do great things for God. So Sister Kathy, it's quite evident that the challenges and the mountains that you face are quite tall and quite big, and most of them are immovable. I'm going to ask our congregation throughout this new year to do what we can, first to raise what we can by the end of March as a special gift to her and to CPO, okay, if you're able to do so. At least pray for her and her volunteers. And those of you who have a little bit of time, and maybe in the afternoon before you go eat or after you eat, unless you work for Adolf Hitler, your boss can't give you a few moments to waddle down to CPO and just walk in there and give a smile, give a hug, lend a prayer. We're that busy. We are that blooming busy. Or maybe you get off at a certain time, the sun's still up and her doors are open. You can't waddle down there. Now if it's snowing and there's 9 inches of ice on the ground, stay home. But when the sun's shining and the birds are singing and the flowers are popping, you just can't go down there and spend 10, 15 minutes, walk around, see what's going on. How many pastors visit you?
One.
And that's at the end of my 8-day, 8-hour, 9-hour day. I smell like food, and yet she lets me in.
Only if he brings donuts.
Which I do. But again, brethren, I'm not asking you to tie both hands behind your back and clout and then to climb Mount Everest. We're a small church. We live in a small town. If you compare with other big major cities in this country of ours, you can't pay a visit. Why not you bring the donuts? Why not you bring the milkshakes? Just a little bit of love. A little bit of concern. You know, when you're in the trench and you're all alone fighting, it's really good to know that you do have in the backfield that army of supporters like you and I. Just to pay a visit. Just to lift someone who's down in the dumps. A little bit discouraged. You've heard her voice. Did you pick up on the sound of the voice other than just the words? The sense of what she would like to do, but the obstacles that are there? Well, someone that's in that boat does like once in a while to have someone come around and say, Sister, we're with you. Sit, talk, drink coffee, pray. So I'm going to challenge some of you to try to do that this year. And that's going to be between you and God, because I'm not going to ask you whether you did it. And she ain't going to tell me whether you have come by, because I don't want her to. That's between you and your God. How about some of us in here prove your spirituality, going beyond hiding in a house,
and getting out of your shack and go visit someone who's doing something great for the Lord. Now, that ruffles your feather, get them all ruffled, but then you turn around and the wind will put the feathers back. How about we do something to at least show a little bit of concern? And for those of you that come out on Thursdays to serve at the mission, I thank you. And as often as you can do that, please do so. Well, this is another mission field that we support here in Topeka. And all that I'm asking my congregation, to look into a mirror and ask yourself one question. If I can't go visit a dear sister who's in the trench for a few moments of my precious time, you will not be ready to face death. And you will not be ready to speak boldly. And maybe God has put you on a shelf because he can't do too much until he blows off the dust and blows off the cobwebs. And I mean that. So you pray about that. You look into a mirror, look really deep into that mirror, and then you choose what you're going to do for God. Do great things for him in this year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you, Lord, to thank you for this day and for your word. And Father, we do want to wrap our arms around our dear sister. And tonight, we want to pray that, Lord, you would encourage her, strengthen her, give her the boldness, give her, Father, the vision that you would give her to see certain things done and accomplished as she directs that organization. Father, I pray tonight, just give her a clear mind. Help her, Father, to set her priorities on paper. And Father, I pray that when she reaches out by way of letter or by phone call to certain people or agencies that could come and either donate this or write the good check or whatever, provide certain services, that Father, when she speaks to them, that you're going to already work upon their hearts for them to be agreeable and to condescend and to support her. Father, help her volunteers who may sit hour upon hour and not even hear the door open once. Father, that can be awfully discouraging, awfully dismaying. So, Father, I pray that the army of volunteers that she has, those faithful women who come day after day, sit hour after hour and see little of what, no results by the end of the day. Lord, encourage them, strengthen them, fortify their resolve. And Father, help us as a congregation to simply count the cost and to make it a priority maybe in this new year to visit a couple of times out of 12 months. Bring some snacks, bring some cheer, bring a smile, bring a hug, bring a prayer. Father, just simply move in the hearts of your people here and help us, Father, to go on beyond just being Sunday, Wednesday evening saints, but that our Christianity would affect Monday through Saturday as well. For we ask this in Christ's name. And Father, we also pray for the blessings on the refreshment as we gather together and spend some time as a church family around our dear sister in Christ's name. Amen.